Welcome to the Movies on the Brain podcast. I am one of your hosts, Brian C. Wood. With me tonight is my co-host, as always,
Chad Mitz.
Welcome to another weird, wild, and wacky week in the world of genre movie news. So, Chad, Wonder Woman. We did an entire podcast on it. We saw it early. We liked it. We thought it was good. Did we expect that it would be $100 million good?
Yeah, well, I did. After seeing it, and particularly after the particular embargo happened, like the social media embargo happened first, and then WB moved up the actual review embargo from the day before to Monday night, midnight here, and I awoke Tuesday to nothing but absolutely glowing reviews, where this thing got up to like a 97% at one point on Rotten Tomatoes.
True, but people have picked up on my issues, so I am happy that I am not the only one who has picked up on these issues. Now, you sent me a link where she tried to address those issues, and she talked around those issues, and she simply, basically, essentially what she said was, we didn't talk in scripting phase, so, you know, things happen.
And I still don't think it was even that. I think it was, I don't like what she said in this movie, and I'm going to act like it never happened.
Yeah. You want to explain to me how Doomsday is a more prevalent threat to humanity than Adolf Hitler?
Again, that comment she made, Batman vs. Superman, didn't happen. There's going to be a lot of things in Batman vs. Superman that they're just going to be like, this didn't happen. Like, at the end of the day, this whole Clark Kent thing didn't happen. Clark didn't die. They found him somewhere. They're gonna walk back a whole bunch of this stuff.
They ran his obituary, Chad.
I understand that. Again, I think it's difficult, but I mean, if you're gonna start ignoring stuff, and if with the kind of fan approval you have right now, Wonder Woman, you might as well walk it all back right now, because they're gonna forgive you for everything. Like, we messed up. We know we messed up.
They'll forgive you for the fact that Chris Pine dies instead of, you know, landing the plane like 100 miles east.
I don't have a problem with that, just because I don't think we're getting another period piece Wonder Woman movie. So
It doesn't look like that way. And again, that's an issue when you have now said that, you know, she didn't go back for World War II.
You can hold on to this bone as much as you want.
I will chew on this. This is the new Pepper Potts. This is aggravating. Like, get your mythology together and coordinate your issues, man. Like, you can retcon stuff, but retcon stuff, like, within reason. And by the way, what is she doing as a museum curator at the Louvre? Like, is she just hunting artifacts? Is she, like, a secret archaeologist or something?
I mean, I would kind of like them to say why she's doing that, but, I mean, she is, like, Patty said, in her mind, Wonder Woman is, like, 800 years old. And so, she's in man's world. She's been there for 100 years. And she's already smarter than everybody else. So why wouldn't she do whatever the hell she wants? So if she wants to sit around pretty things and artifacts and stuff in the Louvre, who's going to tell her no? She's smarter than all the rest of you. And she probably can actually tell you where it came from because she saw it. But you can just come on over to this side.
Not going to happen.
And just
not going to happen.
That these things are just gonna go.
No, they're gonna fix these things, because someone's gonna ask her the question in Justice League, and Joss is gonna make sure the question gets fixed.
Or they can be like, we're gonna fix some other things in Justice League, and everybody's gonna forget about that part, and then there'll be two movies down the line like, oh yeah, didn't she say that? Well, look at everything else that's happened. Do we really care? No, that's what they're hoping for.
Yeah. All right. But, I mean, we're glad that Wonder Woman is a huge financial and critical success, over $200 million this weekend worldwide. They put her in a good place, and put the DCEU in a good place. And now we have to hope that Justice League doesn't burn all of that goodwill to the ground, because we've got, you know, rumors running around the internet of massive reshoots.
Yes.
That are gonna, you know, save humanity.
Oh. So, I mean, we've heard that the couple weeks ago that they already had reshoots going on the way, and then there's another report that said, no, reshoots haven't started yet, they're coming up soon. And those, and, you know, we gotta say it again, reshoots are scheduled in every big movie. This is no big thing. But then the rumor goes into they were reshooting it while they were shooting the movie, and now we have that they're going to be reshooting it, and they're starting now, and it's going to be for like, I think it said like 2 months, which would be a little bit more than probably kind of massive reshoots.
It's crazy because the amount of variants that you have. Like, it depends on who you talk to. It's either, well, these are, you know, we're just finishing out running the course that Zach set out for us, or it's, well, this is just some minor additional photography. Everybody's going to be there. They'll pick up some stuff and move on with their lives. And then there's, oh, no, no, no. Zach's gone. Joss is coming in here. He rewrote almost every inch of the movie, and they're going to reshoot the entire thing in 2 months and crank it out for November.
I mean, that really is kind of the range of the rumors. The last one is completely insane because you can't redo a movie of this scale in 2 months, particularly with all the post-production that's required for these things. So, I think where the truth lies is that the reshoots are a little bit more intensive than the normal reshoots. And Joss is over all those, and it's probably stuff that he did rewrite. But when we get to sit down for Justice League, visually, you'll be able to tell that this is Zack Snyder's movie. It's just going to be tonally, will there be enough variance? Will you be able to tell Joss's stuff? And as I'm saying this, my concern is, will Joss's stuff stick out in this whole thing?
And then you got a disjointed movie that feels like two different.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just need to, you just got to get past this movie. If it's good, it's just gravy on top. It just can't be like absolutely god awful. And I think god awful.
Well, you got to keep the characters intact.
Yeah. And I think god awful is like Suicide Squad. Bad is Batman vs. Superman. And I don't think we'll get either one of
those. All you've got to do, really, is still want to see a Batman solo movie, an Aquaman solo movie, and a Wonder Woman sequel. That's pretty much all you have, and a Man of Steel sequel. Like, you have to like these characters at the end of the day enough to still want to follow them in their own misadventures.
Yes.
Because I think, yeah, I could be completely off base, but I believe that we are a ways down the road from Darkseid in Part 2. Like, I think they're gonna refocus themselves on the individual franchises and try and do it the Marvel way the second time, where you put everybody in place in their own world and their own movies, and then you bring them back together again.
Saying it that way, I would agree. I think if a ways is like
2020,
I think it'll be a little bit late, man, because we're 2017 now. I mean, we'll get out. It looks like we'll probably end up getting one of these.
Well, what's already in production, because I made that stupid rule, which we break every episode, about talking about future DC projects that aren't on the books. But as of right now, Wonder Woman's out in theaters. Justice League is in post-production. And Aquaman is currently shooting. They're out. Suicide Squad 2 is out for directors. Man of Steel 2 is out for directors. Birds of Prey has, or not Birds of Prey, Gotham City Sirens is out to David Ayer, but he's kind of busy right now finishing up Bright, and we're not really clear on when Margot Robbie's timetable for that would work. Matt Reeves is going to do the Batman, but we're not sure if Affleck's going to come back, and we're not sure, you know, he hasn't started pre-production on that yet, because he's still working on post-production for Planet of the Apes, and that comes out in 6 weeks, and then he has to do press for that. So that's where we're at with it. Like, the only thing that is confirmed to have absolutely a green light go right now is Aquaman. It's the only thing filming.
So I think we're going to get Aquaman for sure in 2019. Looks like that's the only thing
that's December 2018, I thought.
18. Yeah, a year from... Yeah, the December from next year, yeah. So, after Justice League, we have almost a year before we get another DC movie. 19, I think we'll get Batman. Who knows who will be Batman, but I think we'll get Batman and probably at least one other movie.
It'll be interesting to see what Ben says on this press tour.
Yeah. At this point, I can't really trust what Ben says. It's all about what happened. So, yeah. It'll be interesting if he's, like, really out.
And, of course, there's the Batgirl movie with Whedon.
Which I think will happen. And I think, hell, they might stick those in the same, Batman and Batgirl in the same year. But it'll be interesting to see if Ben is, like, out like people say he is. If Justice League comes out and people actually like it, does it change anything for him? I still think he'll do the Batman. It's just a question of, will he do anything going forward?
Which, I mean, they've pretty much set Bruce Wayne / Batman up as their Nick Fury. Because he's in Dawn of Justice, he's in Suicide Squad. He's not in Wonder Woman because there's no post-credit stinger. And then he's obviously in Justice League.
I can't say reference. He has a presence in Wonder Woman at the very beginning.
Yeah, with the Wayne Enterprises.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see with Batman. But we're going to get that movie. That will happen. I think they'll start shooting it next year. It'll just be a matter of who is Batman. But I don't think we'll get... I think we get a Justice League 2 until like 5 years from now. So I think we'll get Batman, we'll get Aquaman. I'm iffy on The Flash, but we will get a Wonder Woman 2.
I think
probably a Man of Steel 2.
I think Flash...
And Batgirl.
I think Flash depends on how people react to Ezra Miller's depiction in Justice League. The issue is they just can't find a director.
Yeah.
Now the director shortlist that they came out with seemed to me to target that they're trying to go the Spider-Man-esque tone route for the movie, which is, I think, the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, like, Ezra Miller's schedule with the Fantastic Beasts sequels, and again, you still don't have the director.
But I think we're getting five of those movies at least before we get Justice League.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, it's a good... Charles Robin and those guys deserve a good round of press because Lord knows they've taken a beating the last 4 years.
They have.
Come a long way since all of that praise and hype and excitement when they had the general guy come out at Comic-Con and read the passage from the comic and announce Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, when everybody lost their mind, including me.
Mm-hmm. And look at where we are now. Happy that Wonder Woman was a success.
You gotta take the wins where you get them. And this is a win.
Speaking of wins, so this won the box office. Wonder Woman won the box office this weekend. Next weekend, Thursday night, The Mummy, the kickoff to the Universal Dark Universe movie. Title pending because, you know, lawsuits.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on whether or not Cruise's star power and the wattage for that movie will be enough to overthrow Wonder Woman, who at a 50% drop is $50 million.
Yeah, if it's just a 50% drop, if it's straight up $50 million, The Mummy loses. I don't see The Mummy hitting $50 million. I think most projections have it like around 45, between 40 and 45. If Wonder Woman takes, you know, like a 60% drop, then it's going to be neck and neck. Based on word of mouth and all the reactions to Wonder Woman, and that's just right now, just knowing all the Wonder Woman stuff and not anything about The Mummy, I think Wonder Woman is probably going to win it again next week. I think it'll be close, but I think unless The Mummy comes out much like Wonder Woman did and everybody sings its praises, but I don't even know when the embargo for that lifts.
I would assume it would probably be like Monday or Tuesday night.
They have confidence enough to announce that they're calling it the Dark Universe and have this big press thing with
all the people in it. I think that train's rolling. I think that train's rolling whether Mummy is a success or not. They didn't overplay their hand. They didn't like lay 1,800 clues for going down the road in The Mummy. But at the same time, the announcement, the rollout, the official title, you know, the announcement of the Condon, you know, Bride of Frankenstein movie, they're confident enough in it.
So Well, confidence is good. So hopefully the embargo drops tomorrow, and that it does. It has good reviews, good word of mouth. I think it'll probably do well. I don't know what they're expecting this thing to do, but
It's such a weird vibe to that movie for me, considering, like, I know for people who are older than the two of us, the Universal monsters are a thing. But for me, when I think The Mummy, I think Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz. Mm-hmm. And if you really look at this movie, it's not all that much different from that. It's a mummy who comes into modern day trying to wreak havoc and return, you know, the world into his own, her own darkness. Like, the plot is still basically the same, but the aesthetic does not look like an action-adventure film. It looks more like a horror film.
Yeah, I think they're trying... I don't know. When they originally announced it, I thought they were trying to go more with the horror thing, but I think this is going to be like an action-adventure kind of thing, like the Brendan Fraser movie.
Like the librarian and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So, I don't know. Like, I can't get a feel for this movie. Because they're so confident in everything, I think it's probably good. However, I don't think there's like room for error. I think it's either good or terrible.
Okay. So my bar for confidence is right down here because there's the guy who's directing it and the guy who's in charge of this entire universe, Kurtzman. I am not confident at all. The only thing that like raises my confidence level somewhat is the fact that Cruz is a very hands-on star, mm-hmm. and is very involved in his projects, and I highly doubt that he would have signed on to make a complete turd of a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see where that comes
from. And McQuarrie is one of the, like, seven screenwriters who has credit. So, like, you know, him and McQuarrie put out some good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it'll be bad, but... If it's not, like, decent, I just think it's going to fall off a cliff.
I think, like, if they do $45 million, they finish second place, I think that it'll have some legs. I mean, I can't see the Transformers audience and the Mummy audience being the same deal.
I think the way people are going to look at that, I think that's, like, right up each other's alley. I think just, like, oh, big budget, blow 'em up kind of movies. Yeah, but, I mean, you have about two weeks until Transformers comes out. And I don't think there's anything major that comes out between Transformers and
The Mummy. It was supposed to be World War Z 2, but that didn't work out.
I keep forgetting that's a thing.
Yeah, David Fincher, and trying to get that done. But as a whole, the Dark Universe has got a lot of star power behind it. You've got Javier Bardem scheduled to play Frankenstein. You've got Russell Crowe scheduled to play Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You've got Johnny Depp tentatively scheduled to play the Invisible Man. You've got Tom Cruise, and you've got Sofia Boyella or whatever her name is.
Botella
for The Mummy. You know, it's got some serious star power behind it. Bill Condon, of course, of Beauty and the Beast mm-hmm. fame, and Chicago fame behind the Bride of Frankenstein movie. So they've got talent. It's just an issue of if people are receptive to... Like, it's one of those things. Make a good mummy movie, and from there, grow. But they have to prove that they have made a good mummy movie.
Yeah, so what it has going the week following The Mummy is Cars 3, which I think, you know, they're fine. Different audience. And then there's nothing until... Apparently Transformers comes out on a Wednesday, the 21st.
Yeah, they moved it up 2 days.
Oh, I missed that memo because I ignore Transformers news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they have until the 21st.
News broke this week that The Rock, of all people, who, you know, is currently... You know, undergoing some of the worst press that he's dealt with since maybe the Scorpion King.
You forget he made like the Tooth Fairy and stuff.
Oh, that's right. The Tooth Fairy and game plan and all that good stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
where he got a bad agent who told him that kids' movies was the way to go.
Yeah.
So, he's probably experiencing some of his worst PR since then. Doesn't really matter because he's got Jungle Book... Jumanji. Yes, the Jumanji, the video game adaptation, coming in December. Going up against Episode 8. That should really work out quite well for Jumanji there. So he has been linked, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, has been linked to possibly playing the Wolfman. Your thoughts on The Rock joining the Stark universe?
Like, I've heard this since, I forget where I heard it, but somebody was saying, you know, The Rock for the Wolfman, and I don't know how to feel about it. Mostly because, I mean, it's The Rock and he's in everything, so do I really want to see him in this too? But also because when I think of the Wolfman, I think of, you know, a meek kind of guy that transforms into this big hulking werewolf thing. Well, The Rock is not meek, and meek is not something you're ever going to associate with The Rock. So if they're sticking with just practical effects, it doesn't make enough of a leap for me. Which means that they could just go the whole CGI route and make him like a true hulking Wolfman, which I don't really want to see that either.
Or you could go the route of the Shazam.
Have somebody else be the meat guy and then The Rock be Wolfman. But he's going... If you were to get The Rock to be Wolfman, you would imagine that he's going to spend most of his time not being the Wolfman. So do you really want to lose The Rock? It's the same thing like for Shazam, with him being Shazam. He would only be in the movie half the time. So why would you waste him on half a role?
Which is why they moved him over to Black Adam.
Yeah. So I don't know. I understand why Universal is looking at him. I mean, outside of up until now with Baywatch, he's pulling all this money.
Can't do any worse than Del Toro in that like haphazard like seven different writers, two different directors movie that they did back in 2010. So
was that Del Toro that did that one?
The Alicia Del Toro as the Wolfman.
Oh. When you say Del Toro, I automatically go to Guillermo. Yeah, Benicio Del Toro did do that one. I never saw it, but so I don't have any
Joe Johnston opinion on it. Had to come in and rescue that thing at the end.
He directed
it? Half of it.
I don't like what Joe does. Shocking to hear. But I don't know. I guess if I'm pushed on the issue, I would rather him not do it, but I understand all the reasons why they want him to do it.
All right, it'll be interesting to see. Like they said, you got The Mummy coming up this year, Bride of Frankenstein presumably next year, and then you'll go from there. But we'll see. So Chad, we got some New Mutants casting this weekend.
Yes, we did.
Josh Boone is making this a thing. I think we said on a previous podcast it had already filmed and been in the can, but I don't think that's accurate. I think they're getting ready to shoot, or have they already shot?
No, they're getting ready to shoot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I guess it just feels like we've been talking about this movie forever.
It was like they announced it, and we were talking about it, and then it was like nothing. And then now it's like they're giving us everything, and it makes sense, because they're about to start shooting if things comes out. This is the first one that comes out next year. So,
yeah, March of 18.
Yeah, so they kind of need to like get a move on. If they're trying to hit that date.
Well, I mean, if you're doing a small budget horror tone.
True, but you're still dealing with like mutants and stuff, so there's going to be some posts required. I would think that they want to have the movie shot in like at least 4 months to get this sucker all ready. So I don't know. Maybe they'll start shooting in July to be done by October, and then post until February.
So they cast Charlie Hinton, who is from Stranger Things, as Cannonball, and then they cast Blue Hunt as Danielle Moonstar in New Mutants. One's a Native American warrior type, the other is, you know, Cannonball. Your thoughts on these two actors and their portrayals, and how they fit the roles and what their casting signals for the kind of tone that Boone's going to go for.
So, I've never seen either one of them in anything. So
you all haven't seen Stranger Things, Chad?
I have not seen Stranger Things.
Go now. Leave and go to the desert island. Because that's where you belong with the rest of society who has not seen Stranger Things. Stranger Things is awesome. It is completely gripping and will get you... It will... Like, you'll be through in a day. I promise.
I was around when somebody watched Stranger Things, and that's how that pretty much went. I just didn't watch it. Because, you know, when you say tinge of horror, I'm like, I'm out. Done. So, I'm intrigued that I want to see it because everybody is talking about it, but I'm probably never going to watch it. I will stay on that island of misfit toys by myself.
Now, see, not horror. I would say sci-fi. Sci-fi interdimensional issues.
Okay, so there's a dinghy on the Island of Misfits toys. I might get in and come back. But for right now, I'm sitting chilling over there. So you'll have to speak to the Charlie guy. All I really know about both of them is that they're pictures that I saw.
They're young. They're up-and-coming actors. They fit the age descriptions of the characters. They can pull off dark and nuanced characters. As far as the mutants themselves, I couldn't tell you what the skill sets are. But again, that's kind of the point of the whole New Mutants, is like introducing you to new kids with new power sets, and especially in this new tone setting of a horror movie.
Well, I can speak to Cannonball because I'm very familiar with him. Which, the way you just described that movie, now I'm kind of interested to see how he's going to fit in, because the last word I would use to describe Cannonball is dark. He's you know, every now and then the X-Men have these mutants that are southern mutants, so they really push that they're like southern country folks. And Cannonball is very much that. He's from Kentucky, and he's got like a gang of siblings. There's like 8 of them because they're in the south and they ain't got nothing else to do, so they had a bunch of kids. And he is just like, he's, when I read him, he was like the naive kind of try to do good things kind of guy. And he was just getting into the X-Men proper books when I started seeing him. So he was like really, really young and really, really gung-ho and really, really trying to do all the right things. Meanwhile, all the other X-Men are just like, you know, jaded and cynical and stuff. So if that's the Cannonball they're bringing to this, I'm interested to see how he's going to fit in this kind of darker, grounded horror kind of thing, because he would just be like this light, just like 100-watt light bulb of just positive stuff.
Interesting, because those are normally the first people to die in horror movies.
And I doubt he would, because he's of the string of characters, he's probably the most well known. I know that's not saying much, because most people don't know anything about any of them. But he would probably be the most well known to people that know the characters. And as far as powers, he has a force field and he can like shoot himself through the air, hence why they call him Cannonball. That's the best way to describe it.
And the best description of Daniel Moonstar was basically a Native American warrior type, defender of her people.
Like, well, the power set that I saw, when they said, you know, and thinking about this being a horror movie, is that she can basically create illusions of people's worst fears.
Yeah.
Which would fit into a horror movie. So I don't know exactly what side she's on in this, but it seems like she would be integral to this horror element.
She would. I mean, again, it's just kind of wrapping your mind around the whole everybody locked in a cellar trying to get out type vibe of an X-Men movie.
Yeah. That is kind of weird, but, you know.
Well, I mean, we had it next, was it X2, where Stryker storms the X-Mansion and Wolverine has to go through and kill a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've gotten it sort of in a way. Not really, but like it's coming to grips with a whole new set of mutants I'm going to have to learn about, and B, that setting, and no confirmation yet of McAvoy or any kind of connective tissue.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of getting my mind around that. I mean, it's good. It offers a fresh perspective. It's like Deadpool. If it works, you have a whole new line of of mutants you can spin off of. So.
Yeah. I'm still not the horror guy, but I'm kind of intrigued how they're going to try to pull this off. It's just all does not compute right now.
Yeah. So, Chad. Josh Gad. Walking around town. Murder on the Orient Express coming out. Trailer dropped this week. Very fun, very interesting, very unique trailer. Had a very Wes Anderson vibe. Your thoughts on Josh Gad tweeting random things that kind of hint at, you know, maybe the Penguin?
I think Josh Gad is a troll. And I mean that in the best worst way possible. But, I mean, clearly he's just trying to set the internet on fire about something that may or may never happen. And he's got the means to do it in the most believable ways, because when you can go to the DC studios and take a picture with Geoff Johns holding a Penguin comic book in front of a Batman mural, yes, you're going to set the internet on fire. Will the Penguin be in a movie?
Not to mention tweeting a picture of yourself in a tuxedo.
Yeah, he did that one first. That one's easy. Anybody can go ahead and do that one. But then he has to prove that, no, I can actually go there and, like, we're really going to just, like, I'm going to just pour some gasoline on this sucker and, like, set everybody ablaze. So I heard about it. I didn't even bother looking at the picture. I'm like, I don't know. I know your game, Josh Gad. You could be telling the truth, or you could just be having fun with everybody. I'm not participating in this, but we'll see what happens. And will he be the Penguin? Who knows? Will the Penguin be in a movie, period? Who knows? If he is and it's Josh Gad, congratulations, Josh Gad. But I am not going chasing after Josh Gad and his Penguin waterfalls while we wait to see what happens.
Very difficult to pin down where he would fit into this current context. I mean, you know, he could be in the Batman, but, I mean, again, that's a little ways away. And they wouldn't necessarily be casting right now because the director is, you know, kind of busy, so.
Just as you said it, I just thought, like, since the Penguin, as they've been using him nowadays, he's pretty much a mobster, and like he has a club that's pretty much a front for all of his legal activities.
You mean he doesn't run around in big rubber duckies anymore?
No, he doesn't. He wears suits and has the monocle and stuff, but he's pretty much a typical gangster with a nickname of the Penguin. And Batman normally shows up at the club, shakes him down from information, and leaves. He doesn't even try to, like, lock him up or anything. So, while the obvious answer would be that would happen in the Batman movie, I could also see them giving the cavalcade of characters we'll have in Gotham City Sirens for him to show up there for somebody to shake him down for some information. And the way they seem to be going with that, it seems like it'll be a little bit lighter and fluffier, and he would fit better into that kind of thing.
I mean, but again, that's a little ways down the road, not yet confirmed, and air is finishing up right, so.
Yeah. Either way, we're not seeing Josh Gad in anything for a while. So, again, y'all can get excited every time he posts stuff, because I guarantee he's going to keep doing this.
Just like the Daisy Ridley interviews on the set of the Orient Express.
What was I watching? I was watching Collider, and they were like, they brought up a good point. That is, like, the best advertisement for Orient Express that they were doing way before it happened. Because everybody's watching that, and they're like, they're seeing Josh Gad and Daisy Ridley in it. And then this trailer drops, like, oh, it was for that movie. And now people want to go see that movie. So, Josh Gad, you can be the king of the viral marketing and keep pushing up your role as the Penguin in some movie that's not coming for 5 years. I'm not concerned about any role that you may have for a movie that ain't announced that's not going to come out till probably after I'm 40. So, no.
Okay. Good to know. So, Chad, we got some video game news, movie news over the weekend. Tom Holland, Mr. Spider-Man. Not out yet doing press for that, but out on and about and making the press rounds and made a statement about, you know, Nathan Drake and how that whole thing came to be with Sony, which was announced that he's going to play young Nathan Drake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like he was part of the pitch to do young Nathan Drake.
You know, he's a gamer.
Yeah, I mean, I assumed he was because he was just, you know, young, and that seems to be the thing to do. So, I don't know who else was involved with the pitch, but it seems like if he was part of it, it was partly his idea. And whoever was around thought it was a great idea to go ahead and piss off a whole bunch of gamers, because it's pissing off a whole bunch of gamers.
I did not see this. Have they not taken to the idea of, you know, building toward older Nathan Drake?
I mean, you know that. You know the kind of community gamers are. Do you think they take kindly to changing anything about their precious game? Even if the game has no linear story and you have to make one up, and you make one up based around that thing and they're still unhappy, do you think they would be thrilled with the guy that they've always imagined being either Bradley Cooper or Chris Pratt, or in their mind's eye, a young Harrison Ford or something, or really Nathan Fillion? Yeah. So do you think they're excited about a guy that looks like he's 14 running around being Nathan Drake? They haven't set the internet on fire, which I applaud them for. But they're sitting there in the basement stewing. I'm sorry to all you gamer people. Oh yeah, particularly because IGN people listen. I apologize. I'm sorry. Don't set my mention on fire. I apologize.
I mean, yes. That's my thing. I mean, I think Chris Pratt as Sully works.
I mean, I don't know much about the game. I know Sully's a character.
Sully's the mentor.
And, yeah, hearing that and them saying Chris Pratt, and I got excited seeing Chris Pratt and Tom Holland in that little video, so...
I mean, this is not that much different from my pitch on a young Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. Because part of what you can do with a young Indiana Jones is you can tell the Arthur Ravenwood story, and you can go back and show how him and Marion met, and you can go through that University of Chicago history and how he went from the guy we see as River Phoenix in Indiana Jones, who is really just doing all this stuff and not really understanding what he's doing, to the guy we see at the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And there's a journal, and there's, you know, of course, the young Indiana Jones TV series. You could take any of those stories and make those into a movie. But the idea was always that you would have Ravenwood and Henry Jones, and how Henry Jones became Indiana Jones. And that would kind of be the thing here. Look, from the studio's perspective, Holland's a gamer. He's interested in the property. He's young. He's energetic. You know, he's magnetic. People love him. They're going to love him even more after Spider-Man. I feel like this is Sony saying, look, if we can make this work for a mainstream audience, we've got a guy who we can lock up under contract and get 3 movies out of.
At least.
If we go out and we sign Chris Pratt, who's a very busy guy anyway, and get him to come do Uncharted, maybe 2 movies max? 3?
I think you'll get 3. But
again, you're dealing with a huge, complicated schedule. Right now, as of now, all Tom Holland has is Spider-Man, and he's only contractually committed to 1 more of those. So... you know, I like, if you want to see this movie and you want to franchise and you want to see it work, putting it in the hands of Tom Holland is a way to have it positioned to run for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I see all the points for the studios. It's just, will it work? I think just off of Tom Holland and Chris Pratt, I think people will want to see it. But will it work enough that people are... going to forgive...
Well, Pratt's not signed on yet. Holland is signed on. Joe Carnahan, I think, is scheduled to direct.
Yeah, and I like him. So, I think this is something that'll fit his styles. So, I mean, it could be good. It's just when people accept the fact that instead of seeing a Nathan Drake that's fully realized, that they're going to go on this journey with Nathan Drake to the guy that they always thought they would see.
Yeah. So, Chad, we got more news from Doug Liman, who said that the reason that he backed out of Justice League Dark, no lawsuit pending, is basically that Tom Cruise said he was ready to make a Edge of Tomorrow sequel. And he thought that was a better use of his time.
Oh, or you mean safer bet?
Yeah.
Because it is, because people like Edge of Tomorrow. And I still think this Justice League Dark or Dark Universe movie is a terrible idea. And he should really jump ship. And WB should just go ahead and pack that sucker up and punt it until after the second Justice League, and then unpackage it and see what happens. You know, so I don't blame him. It's a safer bet. It's Tom Cruise. It's the way that people liked the first one and didn't go support it. I think they'll make up for it for the second one. So why not do it?
Emily Blunt is back.
Yeah.
And he says it's the only sequel he's going to do.
Yeah, he says that, but, you know, again, if the money falls right, I wouldn't be too sure about that. Maybe he won't do it, but the franchise may continue on.
All right. So, Chad, speaking of money rolling in, there's a franchise. It's called Transformers. We got some news on it this week. First of all, our beloved director, Michael Bay, came out and said that the movie is not 3 hours long. In fact, he made it sound like the runtime is closer to the original runtime of, like, 2 hours and 15 minutes.
This is where, if I could insert songs into the podcast, I would insert the song Celebration by Kool & the Gang, because I don't want to sit there for 3 hours, because that's what this has been building to. They've been going longer and longer. The last one was, like, what, 2 hours and 40 minutes or some insane garbage like that. So, hearing it's going to be cut down by 30 minutes, that makes me happy. But then I realized, so we've got Nazis, King Arthur, Winston Churchill, Cybertron, probably Galvatron, and Optimus Prime turning bad, and then eventually probably turning good, all in this one movie, and we're going to put it in a shorter movie than the rest of the convoluted message you made, and all that's supposed to work. So, while I appreciate him cutting off 30 minutes, I am now more than ever ready to be thoroughly, thoroughly upset walking in and out of that movie, because it's going to be an utter pile of jumbled up garbage.
But they put together a writer's chat.
I'm glad they got paid. Somebody got paid out of this.
So that writer's room came up with a bunch of ideas for spinoffs. And one of the ideas they came up for a spinoff was a Bumblebee standalone movie, which would be shot, filmed, and edited and released in between Transformers The Last Night and Transformers 6. Whatever the hell it
is, yeah. No, this is... Wait, yeah, this is 5. Yeah, so 6, yeah. Yeah.
And we got some casting news. Mm-hmm. The fantastic, amazing, wonderful Kirsten Dunst of the 21st Century, Haley Sonnenfeld, is going to be in the Bumblebee movie.
Don't compare her to Kirsten Dunst.
She is Kirsten Dunst, circa, like, 2000. But like, when she was coming out of her teen years and going into her early maturity, she had just landed Spider-Man as her first major property. She was doing her things with her artsy things with Sofia Coppola. You know, she was a well-rounded actress.
Okay, if you're going to go that route, that's fine. But, you know, Kirsten Dunst is something else. But
Kirsten Dunst is a great actress and has made a career comeback with Fargo. And The Beguiled is going to be amazing. I'm going to the Thursday night screening. It'll just be me in the auditorium. Probably. But I will go to see the Thursday night screening of a new Sofia Coppola movie, because the world needs more Sofia Coppola movies. And she will redeem herself for The Bling Ring.
I'm not doubting any of that. It's just, I hear Kirsten Dunst and I think of Spider-Man, and it upsets me.
It upsets you because you like the red-haired Mary Jane.
It's not even that she wasn't red-handed and dyed her hair. And so I just hated her performance as Mary Jane. Part of that is on the people that made the movies.
Part of that is because she's just a damsel in distress the entire time. She's not a strong, independent Mary Jane.
No, she's not. I mean, did I necessarily need that then? No. But she's not a good person. And in the second movie, I mean, she's like, she goes to Peter's birthday. They're having cake. She's kind of flirting with him. Then they go outside and she's like, yeah, I'm dating this dude. Like, why did we do all this other stuff? And then she goes along with this dude. And then she does the upside down kiss with this dude. And she realizes she don't like the dude. But instead of ending it right there, after she finds out that Peter is Spider-Man and he saves her and all this stuff, even then, ending it right there, no. The day they're supposed to get married, she sends this dude a Dear John note on the altar. She's terrible. That is a terrible person. And then the third one, I'm going to curse now. She's just a bitch. Like, she is unlikable. I'm like, just let her die. Just be done with this. So, when I hear Kirsten Dunst, that's where my mind goes. I know she's done other things, but that's where my mind goes, and I'm like, no. Nah. But we're not talking about Kirsten Dunst, we're talking about Hailee Steinfeld. And so, on one hand, I'm happy for her to lead one of these blockbuster movies and get that payday and stuff. But then on the other hand, I'm like, but it's Transformers.
It's Transformers with Phil Knight.
That gives me a little hope, but I'm still
Trevor
like...
Trevor Knight, sorry.
Phil Knight's son. That gives me hope, but then... It won't be until I see this movie that I'm able to separate myself from Michael Bay's Transformers and everybody else's Transformers.
Or grasp your head around the fact they're going to make a movie out of Bumblebee.
That I'm not as upset with. I mean, I know there are limitations and things you're going to have to do. I mean, I don't think Bumblebee is a character worthy of having his own solo franchise, but he's the only Transformer that's been in all these movies besides Optimus on the Autobot side, and people like him because he's a freaking Camaro. So, I hope it does well because of her and because of Trevor Knight. But until I see a Transformers movie that's not by Michael Bay, or if this movie that's about to come out turns around surprising me, yeah, right. I just can't do it. I can't get completely happy for her.
I'm completely happy for her. Go see Edge of 17. It's a fantastic movie. It's a wonderful film. And she's wonderful in it. But, I mean, Knight does really amazing story time. He's a very character-oriented director and creator. So I think it'll be in very good creative hands. A lot more, because he's not going to be focused on the bang, bang, blow him up. He's going to be focused on the character aspects and developing the rapport between human and Transformer and making you care about the human, which has been, frankly, an issue in all of these Transformers movies. Yeah. The humans are, like, there for cannon fodder. Or in Shia LaBeouf's case, they're there to make jokes. Or in Megan Fox's case, they're there just to look hot.
Yeah.
Like, they're ancillary to the story. Even Kate Yeager is ancillary to Optimus' story. So it'll be interesting to see someone actually focusing on the human-Transformer relationship and actually, you know, caring to develop it.
I hope you're right. I'm just waiting to see.
So, Chad, this podcast a while back became the official podcast of Gareth Edwards returning to the Monsters universe to finish out the trilogy of Godzilla films that would conclude with Kong vs. Godzilla in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, this week we were disavowed of that notion as Adam Wingard has been signed on to direct Godzilla vs. Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Second horror director that they've added. Daugherty is also known for Krampus and Trick or Treat.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. I can't offer much because he's a horror guy, so of course, I've never seen any of the movies he's done.
I'm disappointed. I wanted to see Gareth's Godzilla vs. Kong movie. That would have been awesome. I understand the man has more money than he ever would be able to spend now, and he has endless amounts of capital after having survived the fiasco of
Rogue One
and having come out clean the other side with a great movie. So he can go make whatever movie he wants. Wingard is a Godzilla fan. He loves the Toho movies. He has an appreciation for the monster. The horror element that they have suggested with Wingard's hiring and with Daugherty's hiring, it suggests a slight shift in tone from the Bernstein, Gareth tone that you had both in Godzilla and Kong Skull Island. But it's still, I think, at its base, there has to be a horror element to these fights, so I can totally see why they're going in that direction. As long as the guy respects the property, understands what he's doing, and is a competent filmmaker, I'm okay with it. I'm just disappointed that I didn't get to see Gareth do it, because Gareth set all this in motion, and he's not going to get to pay off with his Avengers. I mean, Kong Skull Island is going to finish in the top 10 domestically, box office wise. Really? That's crazy.
It is.
And, you know, in a March that was overly crowded, it made money. And it was relatively positively received. So it took what the Godzilla movie did, and it made a little bit more money, and it made a little bit more positive acclaim. So now it's up to Daugherty to come back in 2019 and do a very good Godzilla movie. And then it's up to this guy, Wingard, to bring it home with the ultimate showdown.
Yeah, so, I mean, the only thing I can really add to that is I am kind of disappointed that I don't get another shot at redeeming the peekaboo Godzilla that we got in the first one.
Daugherty's going to fix that. And this is one of the reasons I was disappointed when they hired Daugherty and moved on from Gareth, but understandably because Gareth was tied up.
Yeah.
They're going to do at Comic-Con, the year that Godzilla was released, which was what, May of 14?
Yeah.
Or 15? Like,
one of those two. Yeah.
Like, they announced Destroy All Monsters. And Toho was so ingratiated to them and pleased with what they did with Gareth Edwards as Godzilla. They gave them full creative licenses on the other characters. So now you don't have to make up a Muto.
I mean, it wasn't the makeup part. It was. I understand.
Now you don't have to make up a Muto. Now, as we saw at the post-credits stinger for Kong Skull Island, spoilers, very clearly, visually, they're doing Mothra, Rodan, and Ghidorah. They're doing the big three. And the way they've set this world up is essentially when forces of nature throw nature out of balance, Godzilla comes up out of the ground to bring balance back. And so I think that's what we're going to end up with here is we're going to end up with these three legendary monsters breaking out and causing havoc all over the world and Godzilla having to come back up to defend defend against all monsters.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why they did the peekaboo Godzilla in the first one.
It's more in keeping with the Toho Godzilla. It's far better than the, you know, lizard having babies in Madison Square Garden movie.
That was terrible.
But, like, it's a slow burn build, and that's kind of a hard sell in today's society with the ADD and the must-have resolution now deal, which is funny because, you know, we're super hyped and excited about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. By the time we finally get a Thanos payoff, it'll be 10 years.
Yeah.
It'll be 10 years from the first Avengers movie to Infinity War Part 1, and it'll be like 6 years between 2012 to 2018. So that's
6 years, yeah.
That's 6 years since he first showed his face in the post-credit stinger for Avengers.
Yep.
So, like, that's a long wait to have that paid off. But, like, the slow burn peekaboo nature of Gareth Edwards' Godzilla movie is much in the same vein of the original Toho. And because they ingratiated themselves and Toho trusts them now, they will be able to have more awesome things that they can play with going forward, and the movies are making money. Kong is not that way. Kong is, he's out there, full force, in the marketing. Once they fly to the island, you get full Kong the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hiding him. Did you actually see the movie?
I still haven't seen it yet.
It's a wonderful Godzilla movie, a wonderful Kong movie. And Hiddleston and Larson, while they're underdrawn, are still great. But the idea is, now that you've done a solid Godzilla movie and a solid Kong movie, and Toho is happy, you can, and the deal was made with Universal to take Kong over to Warner's to do this shared universe. Now all the pieces are in place, you can go have wild, crazy fun.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm excited for Godzilla Destroy, King of All Monsters is the title. They're not using Destroy All Monsters, they're using King of All Monsters, which is also a Godzilla title for another storyline. And then they're going to do Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good time. I think it'll be fine. Give everybody what they want. Kong versus Godzilla, I don't think you can mess it up too much.
I mean, like, as long as, like, the last hour of King of All Monsters ends up him just being this massive fight between the three of them, like, that's what I want. I don't just want Godzilla breathing atomic fire at the last. Yeah. I want full on Mega Godzilla the entire time. I mean, it's already the tallest Godzilla we've ever had on screen.
Yeah.
So, and they up Kong too to great proportions to make him, you know.
He can stand up to Kong. I mean, to Godzilla, yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so Chad, next week the Mummy, it's a thing. It's gonna happen. Are you excited? Are you anxious? Are you nervous? Are you?
I'm like completely indifferent.
See, I'm happy because put Tom Cruise on a press tour, which means we get to ask him about Top Gun 2 and find out more information about the fact that it's going to have the same tone and feel to it as the original movie.
And I just eye-rolled. Again, if you want to see Top Gun 2, get into Green Lantern. There you go.
So, I'm anxiously looking forward to seeing what they can do because this bombs, there is no monsters universe.
Yeah.
So, I want at least... These big stars have signed contracts. I'd like to see them fulfill those contracts.
Yeah, I don't want it to bomb. I just don't care.
I mean, I dig archaeology. I dig the Indiana Jones thing. Like, we can go down that road, you know. Greedy, stupid, you know, bounty hunter, essentially, makes a mistake when archaeologist tells him not to. And
unleash the plague upon the world.
Right. You know. Probably should listen to your archaeologist.
Probably.
Alright, so that'll about do it for this week's episode of the podcast. If you want to keep up with this podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at BCW Tiger Fan.
And at The Mesh Theory.
Thank you very much, and have a pleasant evening.